Now, I want us to look at what we may call let seven times pass over him. If you've read the book of Daniel, you know where we're getting that statement. Let us go to Daniel 4, verse 14.
Daniel chapter 4, verse 14.
This is a continuation from what we were looking at in the midweek service. The dream of Nebuchadnezzar, when he saw a huge tree that reached to the sky, and different birds, they found refuge in the branches of the tree. And a voice said, you know, cut down the tree. And that's what we are reading in verse 14.
Daniel 4 verse 14.
He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let the beast's heart be given unto him. And shall we read those last words in verse 16? And let seven times pass over him. Shall we bow our heads and pray? Heavenly Father, we've opened the scripture for which we are able to do that, Lord, as long as energy is in our hands. But Lord, to open the contents and to unlock them, no man can do it, Lord. And we are as helpless as anyone. But now we ask for your grace and your mercies to be upon us this morning, that Lord, you may unlock this content, that as it goes forth, may it be a blessing, something that will give us spiritual instruction. We are so thankful for the opportunity that we have to sit at the feet of the Lord. Forgive us our sins, O Lord. Any thought, even in my heart, which would hinder thy truth coming out in the full measure it's supposed to, forgive me, Lord, and take it out of the way. But let your word flow out as pure as it can be for the healing of the souls of all hearers, including the preacher and everyone. Help my brother as he interprets, that what he speaks, let not him or her who depends on interpretation, let them not miss a word because of the lack of ability. But Lord, I pray, give my brother the ability, for these words we are speaking, we take them from thy sacred scriptures. So Lord, anoint our lips, and may you anoint the ears as well. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Why did the angel say, in verse 15, leave the stump of his roots in the earth? A command was given, hew the tree. Cut it. But leave the roots. Put a band of iron around it. Why did God want the roots to remain? Because whatever he was doing on that tree, his intention was not to kill the tree. He cut it for a lesson. And we know who this tree is. You remember what Daniel said? When he started explaining what that tree was,
In verse
20,
the
tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the side thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, and under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king. Which king is this? The king of Babylon, right? Is that so? He says, it is you, O king. For thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. Now, that is very clear. Now, you see, when you read the Bible, there are certain visions we read which were already interpreted in the scripture. Like the dream Nebuchadnezzar had. A huge tree with birds coming in it. And then Daniel says, that tree, O king, is you. It represents you and your kingdom. You know? Now, when an interpretation has already been given, that closes it out. You can't come with another opinion to say, no, I think that tree represented King Cyrus, or it represented Israel, or it represented another kingdom. No, the case is closed. Daniel has interpreted it. But allow me at this time, before we go further with the message, I want to show you one big error that Jehovah Witnesses have thrown on that. Now, it's quite a dubious interpretation, actually. It's dubious. It's a deceptive interpretation. Now, look here. When the tree was cut, what did the angel say? How long was it supposed to stay in that condition? What did the angel say? Hello? Where do you find that? In verse 16, right? May I hear your voice in verse 16? Shall we read verse 16 together? Let his heart... You can do better. Shall we start? Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let...
Seven times pass over.
Can I hear this again? Let...
Seven times pass over.
Who is that? That's Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar. He says, this is what it means, O king. You will lose your mind. And it will take seven times. Which in other Bible versions, it says 7 years. Okay. Well, that is simple to understand. Because when you read Daniel 12 verse 7, when you read Revelation 12 verse 14, you know that this language of using time, times, you know, when you say time, it means 1 year. Okay, that's old language. When you say times, it means two years. When you say half a time, it means 6 months.
26 months.
Okay, that's King James Version English. Times and half a time. In other very simple Bible versions, like the Good News Bible, it will just tell you 3.5 years. And the vision of Nebuchadnezzar, when you read it in very simple versions, it will just simply say, let 7 years pass over him. And now when you look at how the Jehovah Witness have interpreted that, they say, okay, these are 7 years, which is correct, 7 years. But here is something dubious which is being done. They say, okay, now, how many days make 1 year? How many days are in a year? Hello?
365.
Now, the interpretation given is
there
is prophetic time which has
360 years.
Okay, which is understandable. A lot of scholars follow that thought. To say the prophetic year of God using the Jewish calendar, we use 360 days in a year. Okay, now if we say 1 year has 360 days, let me say something here. When you look at the globe, there's this axis here. And then you have the sun. But you know the earth is not standing like that. It is tilted. It's like this. But before the flood of Noah, the earth used to be straight like that. So that when it is turning, a year would be exactly 360 days. Now, you try it. When you take a ball and it's standing straight and you spin it, it will move at a good speed. But if it is tilted, maybe it is slightly heavier one side, you try to spin it, it will be slowed. Because the weight is not evenly distributed. That is why after the flood of Noah, you know the flood caused a lot of water, right? To this day we have a lot of oceans, not so? Are we together? Now because of this water, which of course they are not evenly distributed around the globe, remember some of this water is underground. Is that correct? That's why you can take a borehole, you drill, water comes out. Now, because of this uneven distribution of the water, now you have the earth tilting like this, right? So, instead of it revolving at 360, there is a delay in its speed. So for it to make a complete revolution around the sun, there is a delay of about 5 extra days. So you have 365 days. But well, we are going to use what the witnesses here have stated, that 1 year, 360 days. A lot of scholars would call it a prophetic year. Even in the message. Well, but now, if 1 year is 360 days, so the Jehovah Witness, they go ahead and say, okay, let us find how many days are in 7 years. So they say 7 years. How many days are in 7 years? If 1 year has 360 days, 7 years will have? Raise your hand. I don't want everyone just talking. I want people to raise hands. Calculators. I want everyone to participate.
And if I won't say, people to...
Rohama's hand is also up. Very quick in calculation. Huh? Okay. Ami? Can I hear you? Stand up, young man. 2,500? Correct. Is that the one you found, Brother Tirwa? Who found that one also? Okay. Thank you. So they say, okay, 7 years gives 2,520 days. Now, here is where things get dubious. They say, all right, now, they say, look here. Now, this is written in their book. I quoted it here. I've dealt this in my new book. I think it will be published after a week or so. So, they say, when you look at Daniel 4 verse
22,
you know, where it says, the tree reached, its leaves reached to the uttermost. You know, the rulership of Nebuchadnezzar reached to the heavens. His dominion to the end of the earth. So this is what they say. You can find this in their book. Pay attention to Daniel's prophecy. They say the tree stands for rulership and sovereignty.
No,
far grandeur than that of Babylon's king. It symbolizes the universal sovereignty of
Jehovah.
The king of the heavens, especially with respect to the earth. Anyone who's noticed the poison in that statement? What did Daniel say the tree represents? He says the tree represents thou, O king, right? Meaning the Babylonian Empire. But did you hear what the witnesses say in pay attention to Daniel's prophecy? They say the tree stands for rulership and sovereignty, which is beyond that of the Babylonian king. Because they are saying, because Daniel said, you know, the tree reached to the heaven and it is rulership which has to reach heaven and all the earth. Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom did not reach all the earth. So the tree has to represent a kingdom bigger than Babylon's rulership. Are you seeing where they stand on to say that? They said
Nebuchadnezzar.
His kingdom did not reach to the heavens or to all the earth. So there has to be a mystery there. That tree represented a kingdom which is bigger, greater than Babylon. What is that? They said it is the kingdom of
Jehovah.
Things get worse. So they say, so now we have to look for Jehovah's kingdom on earth. And they say, which country, in which country did God establish his kingdom? It's the nation of Israel. So, if that tree had to be cut down, we need to search history. We look for a time when the nation of Israel was cut down. Now, you see, one error leads to another error. Do you know if you're a driver? If one day you cross a red light, you know it's easy to do it another day? It becomes a habit, right? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, because you feel, here I haven't been arrested. I think I'm late. It's red again. I can go. The Jehovah Witness, they crossed the first red light. When they said the tree is Jehovah's kingdom. That is in direct contradiction to what Daniel said. Daniel already interpreted the tree is you, O King Nebuchadnezzar. And listen to what Daniel said. The tree was cut down to show it is God who rules. He cut it down for its pride. If you say that is his rulership, is Jehovah cutting down his own rulership? It's a very absurd interpretation. Now hear me. That's the first red light. You've discarded Daniel's interpretation. You've turned it upside down.
Why?
I've told you a story. When one day three Jehovah Witness elders came, there's someone who told them to come and see me. They said he preaches original sin is adultery. And this was their message. Said Mr. Piri, if it was adultery, God would have specifically written it in the scripture. So you are adding to the scripture, Mr. Piri. He says, here, we can read. We are not seeing adultery. I said, okay. You are saying I am adding to the scripture. I said, just hold on a minute. I went to the room and I brought, pay attention to Daniel's prophecy. I told him I'll be a Jehovah Witness in the next few minutes. I opened to page 95 of that book. I said, look here. Daniel here said, this was the Babylonian kingdom. But you said, that had to be Jehovah's kingdom. I said, where is it written in the scripture? Who gave you authority to put upside down? To put a new interpretation. Ah, so they chuckled and they laughed. They looked at each other. He says, oh, we didn't know you read our books. I said, oh yes, I do. But tell me, if you're saying I'm adding to the scripture over the original sin, what do you call this which you did on page 95? He said, okay, you know, we appreciate the way you read. Now, this is what they said. They said, you see, God progressively reveals his word. I said, amen. He also has progressively revealed to me that that was adultery. So they chuckled and laughed. I said, Mr. Peter, we'll continue this study next time. But you see, I can prove to you that when we teach original sin, it's not addition. But when you say what they say over this, that's addition. Original sin, you just need to open your eyes and you'll see it. It's right there. When you understand it, it ties the whole scriptures, it makes one story. It makes the Bible tell one story. But to say the tree was Israel, that's not progressive revelation, it's an error. Now, the first red light has been passed. They say the tree actually is Jehovah's kingdom. Then they say that kingdom was represented in Israel. See the confusion? So the huge tree is Israel. Daniel says it's Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. Now, watch Jehovah's Witness cross the second red light. They say, okay, now, let us go into prophecy. 1 year, 360 days. 7 years.
2020.
So now they say, one day is a year in prophecy. So they said, now we have to read these 2,520 days. We need to read them as years. So they say, actually here we are talking about 2,520 years. If you don't have an eye and the Jehovah Witness is explaining that to you, you say, koma waya ziwa mawaya. Wasoporola. You won't see the dubious thing which has been done here. In the new book I'm releasing, notes on Daniel, I wrote this statement. In prophetic study, we call that eschatology. Okay? In prophetic study, converting literal time of days to years is acceptable. It's acceptable. Converting years to days. Is suspicious. But doubly converting the resulting days back to years is dubious and ludicrous. You don't do eschatology like that. You say a year is made of 360 days. Okay, we don't normally do that in prophetic study. Usually we take days, typing 2 years. But fine, let's give it a pinch of doubt. A year has been converted to days, so that 7 years has been given 2,520 days. But here, 2,520 days have been converted back 2 years. This is dubious. There's no such a thing. But now, the third red light is worse. It leads to an accident now. If there are brothers here who like crossing red lights, You do it first, you do it second time.
There'll
be a third one. It will lead you in an accident one day. Let's watch the accident. So they say, in which year was Israel cut down? Because now Israel has been made as the huge tree in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. So we know our history puts that at 606 BC, right? 606, a lot of historians say that's the time when Israel was defeated by, you know, Babylon, cut down. So now, if the prophecy said, let seven times pass over, according to the JW theology, they say seven times are 2,520 years. So from 606, when you add 2,520 years, to which year does it bring you to? Now remember, you are moving from BC to AD, so you subtract, right? Because as you are moving from BC to AD, you know, you go like that, right? So those who are quick at mathematics, what year does it arrive you at? That's a subtraction you're doing. Hello? Yes. You're not confident, sister. You're correct. So from 606, when you count 2,520 days, it brings you where? 19 what? 14. Yeah, 1914. So you know what the JW said? Jesus is coming in
1914.
And they believed that with everything in them. Jesus is coming. That was Charles T. Russell, the founder.
Charles T. Russell.
They started believing Jesus is returning.
1914. Is part.
People believed that. Now remember, this thing had happened before among Seventh-day Adventists. Seventh-day Adventists, of course, it was under the influence of William Miller. They had predicted
1844.
People stopped school. People quit employment. People sold their properties. Jesus is coming. A lot of people were convinced. And that is why preachers will really be held accountable before God. Because people believe you when you teach, right? You do your calculations and people are convinced this is true. And the whole world was watching. 1914 is coming. Based on what? These red lights. One error led to another. 1914 came.
1914,
Jesus did not come.
Yesu taishire.
But who knows what happened in 1914? What's the big major world event which happened? What happened in
1914?
Young people go to school. What happened in
1914?
World War One. First World War. So witnesses looked for the coming of Jesus. Then 1914 came, it went. What did they do? Did they correct the error? No.
How?
They tried to look for a way to say Jesus actually came in 1914. This is what they say. In 1914, the appointed times, you find this on page 97 Page 97, pay attention to Daniel's prophecy. The appointed times of the nations were fulfilled, and God gave rulership to the lowliest one of mankind, Jesus Christ. So they say, yes, Jesus started ruling in 1914. It happened spiritually. You know, usually when a prophecy fails, people try to spiritualize it. That's what the Adventists did. When William Miller, 1844 prediction failed,
1844.
That's for Adventists. Actually, that time, Seventh-day Adventist was not really the name, because that came later on. Miller was a good student of Bible prophecy. He was very good. But he stretched it further and thought he could compute when Christ is coming. And it failed. In history, they call that the great disappointment. Just Google the great disappointment. It's 1944. But you know what happened later on? You have scholars come together. One person called Mr. Andrews, and then Ellen G. White. What did they say? 1844 really was a spiritual year. What actually happened is that there was a cleansing of the heavenly sanctuary. So, Adventists also said there was a spiritual event in 1844. They call it the cleansing of the sanctuary. Now, if you ever thought witnesses, Adventists, they are good with scriptures, bring up those topics on discussion and you see how they're very uncomfortable with them. But you see, many people don't study the word of God. That's why they easily get deceived. Some intermessage churches have fallen into the same trap. They said, oh, the rapture, the prophet said it will come in 1977. No, he never prophesied that. But people built up their own expectations. And then 1977 came, nothing happened. And so you have some Branhamites who believe that something happened in 1977. No sense. If an error has occurred, let us spell it out for what it is. Is that correct?
Amen.
So, those Jehovah's Witness elders, they told me they'll come back to go and consult. They told me they'll go and consult others, then will come and continue the discussion. Do you know how many years I've been waiting for them? It's over 20 years now. I've tried to ask different ones, trying to show them the error in saying the tree was Israel. One time they came home. And you know, they love, if they come to your place, they want to share. If you don't know your Bible, yeah. You say, well, you know, they quote the scripture. But if you know your scripture, you realize that these are zealous people, but without the true knowledge of God's word. Now hear me, saints. Just like Nebuchadnezzar was that tree, you are a tree. Amen. You are a tree. You know, there are many places in scriptures which liken a person to a tree. Those who walk in God's word, they are like trees planted by the rivers of water. Psalm chapter 1. Remember that blind man when he was prayed for, and Jesus told him, "Do you see?" He says, "I see men like trees." But now forget about that. But know one thing, you are a tree. Now, notice what the angel said. Shake the leaves and the branches, that all these animals which take shelter in there, they may scatter, they may move away from the tree. Cut it down. When you look at Nebuchadnezzar, he had grown to be a proud person. He had so much achievements. But now, let's not just look at Nebuchadnezzar, let's look at ourselves. God has made it.
That
as you grow in life, you put out some branches and some leaves. You know what that does? It makes people want to come under the shelter of those leaves, right? At one time you used to go to school, and while you start working, you find, oh, someone wants to visit you. Is that correct? They start asking you for school fees. Has that happened to you? Hello?
Amen.
That's what happens as you grow. You are a tree which is now producing what? Leaves. Leaves is fellowship. Leaves is that comfort you provide to other people because now God has given you a certain blessing. Oh, someone is sick. They say, "Please, I'm asking for money for medicine." Or maybe they stay in another province, they come in this province, they give you a phone call. "Oh, I'm sick, you know, going to UTH, can we come and keep up at your home for 3 days or so?" When a young person reaches that age, they've become a tree which has matured, isn't it? So other people find shelter in their leaves. That's the normal course of life. Every parent wants to see that. No parent wants to keep watering the tree. It grows. It has no leaves. Does not produce fruit. No, a tree has to give out leaves. It has to produce fruit which others can eat and enjoy and find comfort in that. Is that so, parents? Hello?
Amen.
That's the natural course of life. I was looking at the Chitoshes. I mean, they are young people we've seen when they were both single. Yvonne used to be in my class when I used to teach at the college. The day I visited their little home, they are now a family. There is a little baby there. And her young brother has come to stay with them. But before that, if Tenson is just staying in a certain house somewhere, it wouldn't be a home that maybe a certain elderly man or family can go there to set and kuliva chitoshi. No. But now, it's a tree.
Chimuti.
It has branches. It has leaves. Another person can come and take shelter there. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? Now, that's a tree. It produces fruit. But always remember that tree, the power to provide a shade, the power to produce fruit, does not come of its own. It's by the providence of God. Amen?
Amen.
So even when God has blessed me, or has blessed you, whatever I can be able to have through my hands, never reach a point where you feel people can't do without you. Where you begin to think it's the strength and power in your lives. Always fear God and say, it's by the grace of God. God appointed you as a steward. But you know how Nebuchadnezzar felt? He saw other nations depending on Babylon. Everyone was mentioning the name Nebuchadnezzar. He's powerful, he's great, he's mighty. And one day as he was walking, he boasted. In Daniel 4 verse 30. He said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power? He was praising his strength. He looked around and said, he looked at the buildings. He looked at the architecture. He looked at how there was order in Babylon. And he praised his intellect. I'm a great thinker. I'm a great mind. All this wouldn't have been there if it wasn't me. Those are very dangerous words. Do you know there are words which should never come out of your mouth in your life? Are we together? Asembe sindine, asembe sindine. Ndimwe wakali ai, asembe sindimwe. Never utter such words. No matter how people depend on you, whatever has come in your hands, it's by the providence of God. Just be faithful in how you manage that. People feel what they've accomplished is because they are intelligent. They feel they're good at thinking. God was looking at Nebuchadnezzar. Says, okay, let me show him that whatever is happening in Babylon, I'll take this mind of his. It's actually him who put it there. God wanted to show who really has been doing this. He took the mind of
Nebuchadnezzar
and for 7 years, the 7 times, 7 years, 7 years, this is not a short period of time. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's a long period of time. I want to ask you a question. Who was ruling Babylon during this period? The king has gone mad. They've even locked him with livestock. Oxen. When you read this account, Nebuchadnezzar started feeding on grass. He became an animal. His nails grew. He wasn't bathing. They had to tie him. Recently, I was at a funeral. That was Brother Chirwa's funeral. Then there's a young man who came. He was full of stories, you know. And he was entertaining us. He would bring one story after another. And everything was speaking. I mean, this is a sober person. And then he said, I'm on medication. I go to Chinama. And when I take that medicine, it helps me. And he started describing how he feels and all that. He says, yeah, but the medicine is very helpful. Now, it was strange to see that the person actually knows he loses his mind, but when he takes that medicine, he's okay. And that is actually normal. There are people who have that sickness. You know that, huh? How many have seen people with that condition? Yes. When they take that medication, they become sober. And it comes on certain occasions. And this young man was able to explain in detail. He says, how it happens, how he needs to take this medicine and he becomes well. Now that tells us something. When one completely loses his mind, completely, in a state where you don't even know you are mad, that's bad. But if one is able to know that there's something wrong which happens, but there's medication I take. There are some people who get into that state through depression, right? Now, we can say that is better. Because you are able to control yourself. You are able to know what I need to do. So now, when you look at Nebuchadnezzar, God did that for a purpose. What was the purpose? Let us read what God said. Verse 17. Why God did that on Nebuchadnezzar? This matter, shall we all read? This matter is by the decree of who? Can I hear you, please? By the decree of the and the demand by the word of the holy ones. Let us read the next words all together. To the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. He sets over it. Now, hear what the angel said. To the intent that the living may know that the Most High is the one who rules where? In the kingdoms of we human beings, right? And he is able to take the lowliest, the basest of men to be the one to rule the kingdom. Here is something. When Nebuchadnezzar had lost his mind, who was ruling the kingdom? Now, do you know, if you have great power as a president, we say you are high, you are on top there. So, in our human thinking, who is high? On top. People with power in their hands. People with wealth in their hands. Can I ask, who is the lowest in human society? Who is the lowest in human society? No, lower than a slave. Who is lowest? A slave has his mind. When you give him food, even if you've taken all the rights from him, at least he has a mind to think. Hello? Yes. A mad person doesn't even have control or ownership of his mind. Correct? Well, you can say a slave, at least he has a mind in him. But a person who has lost his mind is lost in society. If a mad person takes a gun and shoots you, is he guilty in the court of law? Huh? Because for a crime to be committed, there has to be a mental element, intention, right?
But
when that mental element is not there, you are treated the same way a stone falls on another person. You can't take a stone to court, can you? But we can arrest a stone by saying, ah, tichose papa inga punke wina, let us arrest it, let's put it aside. Those who do law, when someone commits certain crimes, among the defenses you can use is madness. Is that so, Brother Lungu? To say, no, the time it happened, I wasn't okay, actually. But the only problem is, okay, thank you, but you need to be in China. You're not supposed to be among us.
Right.
And hey, there are people who are normal, but there is no other thing they could do. But to say, no, I was mad, actually, the time the murder took place. And then, well, they prefer to stay maybe in a mental institution than facing the wrath of the law. Well, the thing of it is this. When Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind, do you realize when his mind came back, was there another king they had put in place? Is that what the scripture says? When his mind got restored, did they say, oh, sorry, Mr. Nebuchadnezzar, but we already have a king? Is that what happened? Because after 7 years, his mind was restored.
But 7 years,
what happened when his mind was restored? Let's read in verse 36. Daniel 4, verse 36. Shall we all read? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors, my lords, sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. So when his reason returned, the throne was still there for him. Are you seeing that? Was Babylon attacked? Was it overthrown? No. The kingdom was still intact, right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
What was that, Nebuchadnezzar? God showing him. It is I who rule in the kingdoms of men. If you think it is by your mind, I can suspend your mind and things will still run. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And that humbled him. You know, some people behave like that in companies. They can't fire me. This company depends on me. Oh my, that has happened many times. And when you are fired, the next person replaces you, and perhaps there's even more progress in the company. Never at any time think you are irreplaceable. Whatever God has given us, it's by his grace. That's why Job said, you give and you've taken. Blessed be your holy name.
Mm.
Nebuchadnezzar worshipped God in verse 37. Shall we read what he said? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to. Let's read that last sentence. All those that walk in pride, he is able to. He is able to. I can't hear you. He is able to. So, he's speaking of himself. God had done what? Had abased him, right? Are we together? Oh, who are proud, he does what? He can abase them, right? So these 7 years, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He was abased. Now, read verse 17 again. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it there. Setteth up over it there. Huh? Remember his testimony. He says, those who are proud, he does what? He does what? And he says, God can put the basis of men to rule over a kingdom, right? So now, when Nebuchadnezzar had lost his mind, we can say he was the basis. Went so low. Made him eat with animals. But in all these years, he was set abased. The kingdom was running. How was the kingdom running? Was it because of him? No. The Spirit of God ensured everything was in order. There was a protection around Babylon. No other empire could take advantage to say the king got mad. No. God set a defense. It is God who protects us. In the night, in the day, it is God who protects us. Praise the Lord. But now look here. Why didn't God just make him go for 1 year? One time only. Don't you think 1 year was enough? When you read in the Contemporary English Version or the Good News Bible, it says, let 7 long years pass over him. 7 long years. 7 years is a long period of time to be in that state of a mind. Here is something, saints. As we walk in our lives, God watches over us. And there are certain mistakes you do. God is looking at them. You keep doing it. It doesn't mean when there is no activity around you that God is not aware. The silence of God does not mean he's not watching. It's his patience. But his patience, there comes a point he says, okay, I think let me teach him a lesson. Has anyone here gone through something and you thought God was teaching you a lesson? Have you ever gone through that? Any? Hey, I've gone through my own things. Any? You went through something and you felt, ah, God was teaching me something. It wasn't nice, but God was teaching me something. He has a way to teach. Many times we take advantage of his patience. You do a wrong thing once, maybe you have fear. I don't know what will happen. You do it second time, say, nothing happened. Anyway, God has forgiven me. Hey, you do it third time, you think God is not watching. Don't tempt the Lord. Because when the time comes, he says, okay, When the angels say, let seven times pass over him. Believe me, you don't want the seven times of God to pass over you. Because when God means to teach you a lesson, you will hear the loudness of his teaching through every fiber of your soul. And it won't be a nice experience. Remember the children of Israel. You know, it's God who took them out of Egypt. What was his desire? For them to go to the promised land. Is that correct? Hello? You are also on a journey. You are also on a journey. God took them out of Egypt. Great miracles were wrought. But you know, these were a hard-hearted people. Any little problem which happened, they never learned to say, God has been faithful. He will see me through this. I believe him. Every little thing, yeah, I think Egypt was better. Egypt was better. There was a constant confession of unbelief on their lips. Until God said, I think, let me give them their wish. Can I ask you something? Did they go into Canaan? No. They died. Where did they die? Where did they die? Now, do you know it was their prayer to die in the wilderness? Let us go to Numbers 14. Be careful what you speak when you are upset. Be careful what you speak when you are angry. Be careful what you speak when things don't work out right, because those words could be fulfilled, and God won't take it that it was a rhetorical prayer. Muchenjere ko mlanda ngana mfulwa. Muchenjere ko mlanda ngana mkwate pe kuntonkanya. Let's hear what these people said in their anger and in their frustration. Yes, Numbers 14, verse 1. I wait for everyone flipping the page because I want all of us to read those words together. When you reach there, say amen.
Amen.
When you reach there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, shall we read? And all the congregation lifted up their voice and
cried.
And the people wept that night. Kwenze maliro. He sent the spies that now the promised land is near. But before we go there, let us send spies. People who can go and see how the land looks like. So they went. Oh, when they went there, it was a nice place. Fertile soil. Beautiful rivers. Wonderful. But they also saw the powerful soldiers. Mighty army. Big healthy people. Kuona chaba tukuna tabwera kuziko kuina kuno. Wabwera waziwa na chawishwa. Disentete. They went back. Instead of even giving a report to Moses. When they went back in the camp, they started telling everyone. Moses kwa menati bweresa kuno ati bweresa kuimfa. Ati tienda ku promised land ati tiza gonje sama tribes yali kuja. Ati kuli mibabe, kuli masoja uko. Not mamene mwone kera, ndi mwentete. Abwera kukupa isani, Moses, ndi mwentete.
Ati mutupaso, aisa kyo kumipaisha.
Maliro ya yamba. Because this is a journey they've taken all the way from Egypt with the high hopes and expectations. Where are you going? We are heading to the promised land. What kind of a place flowing with milk and honey? My hymns vanaimba. Kwenze kusangalala, how will this land be? So nine nsakangala na plot yanga. Uzankara na plot yako. It's a nice land. People's hopes were high. But when they reached there, and then kwame no mabwera kuna tuku promised land ina vene vake land ino. And the soldiers are of great stature. We can't fight them. That's the news the spies brought. And it just made everyone to start crying. Because they were thinking, going back to Egypt, what they lost in the wilderness. They looked at the babies they were carrying. You know what they started doing? As they were crying, Moses was seated. Aaron. Wanambolila pafupi pali Moses pamene tenti kalile amvele mawe amene tekama. Vana watu hawa.
Abana besu hawa.
Nindana zawa shita protect kungondo ya mine utingenezamu. Vana watu na wazikazi watu wazamwali la.
Vana besu na wakashiri ya suwa lafwa.
Now listen to the words they said.
Mungu kuma shivala mire.
We should have died in Egypt. Or even here in the wilderness, better we die here. Listen, verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation, said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? Are you hearing their prayer? Did you hear their prayer? Would God that we die in Egypt, or let him just kill us in the wilderness? And then they included their children in their prayer. Verse 3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land? To fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? They mentioned their wives. They mentioned their children. When Moses heard that, verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Moses did not have strength anymore left in him. When these people came crying to him and wailing and mentioning how their babies would die, their young people, Moses saw how these people did not have faith. They were ready to kill Moses. Moses had no strength in him. He just fell down. And then God spoke. God spoke. Listen to what God spoke. These were terrible words. Let us read verse 28. Let us all read verse 28. God is telling Moses. Shall we read? Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Did you hear what God said? Did you hear what God said? Ati mwameni mwakambira.
Siafini mwalanda.
Ndeza mene nizachita.
Ofona rachita.
What did they say? Would we had returned to Egypt, or would we had died here in the wilderness? You know, sometimes you can speak words like that because you are angry. You've lost your anger. You've lost emotion, right? Some people even swear. Kaleza. Really? Kaleza kakungambe. Really? No matter how angry you are, don't swear. Because there is so much our minds don't know. Don't trust your mind so much. The way Nebuchadnezzar trusted it. Have the fear of God. Don't swear. Okay, lakini tengeko kanzero kamina kanena kupasa.
Nikasende kwa tumano.
Pitiliza na maplani yako. Yanampeleka kuti maplani yanamgenesa sanga.
Yes, I'm saying they are to alimpanga.
Whatever you have, whatever privilege, say blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember Job. All his children died. All his animals died. All his wealth collapsed. The wife came and said, my husband, you've been faithful. Look what God is doing to you. Better you insult him. If he is angry, let him kill you. Job said, you speak like a foolish woman. Should we just accept good things from God? If he gives us bad things, should we refuse? No. If he's the one who has chosen, he's the one who wants everything. God looks at a humble heart. Job was a humble man. All the blessings he had, he believed it's God who gave him. Yet, do you know he was a very intelligent man, Job? He was a very intelligent man. The Bible says when people were having a question, they're disputing over something. If Job speaks, that would be the last word, the problem would have been solved.
Yeah.
Verse 28, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Verse 29, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless, ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey. Remember, that's what they said in their prayer. Do you remember that? You remember what we read in verse 3? They said, our young ones, they'll die where you are taking us to. You remember? Now here God said, these young people you said they'll die. They're the ones who enter. As all of you, as for all of you, you die in the wilderness. In other words, these you think they're helpless. They're the ones ourselves. To show it's not by your strength, it's me who keep them. May God help us. What do we learn from Nebuchadnezzar's testimony? God rules. Number two, what does Nebuchadnezzar say? It's right there in his testimony as we are closing. In Daniel 4 verse 37. What do we learn? What did Nebuchadnezzar learn? Number one, he said God rules. Yes. You may say, but I'm not a king. No, but you have a home you run. You have a position in the company where you are. Whatever blessing you go through, at home, at work, always say to yourself, it's God who rules, it's God who provides, it's God who gives me the strength to and the ability to think and plan. God rules. Amen. Number two, what did Nebuchadnezzar say? God doeth according to his will. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. He said, God doeth according to his will. That's what he said in his testimony. He says, he does things according to his will in heaven and on earth. It's him who does it. Number three, Nebuchadnezzar tells us, you can't tell God what to do. Neither can you stop what he has determined to do. You can't stop it. And when we are humble, he will lift us up. We'll see more of his hand. We'll see more of his providence. Shall we stand?
Na tuimini.